With the Carolina Hurricanes season over, it is time to give out our awards for best MVP, best forward, best defenseman, and much, much more, all in this episode of Locked On Hurricanes.
Your Locked On Hurricanes, your daily podcast on the Carolina Hurricanes, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Caniacs. I'm your host, Jared Ellis, and you're listening to Locked On Hurricanes on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And once again, thank you for making Locked On Hurricanes your first listen of this Wednesday afternoon. And I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Andrew Schnitker. How you doing today, Andrew?
Doing great. I'm super excited to finally have this beautiful new Yeti mic in front of me so I can hopefully sound much better for all you wonderful Hurricanes fans going forward. And I'm excited to give out some awards today.
Yep, I use the same one. So now we're going to sound the same, sort of, I guess, except we have different voices. But yeah, let's get right on into it. We are going to start with the best Wade Minter call. You remember last year, we had best mentor moment, and we changed it up a little bit this year, with best mentor call. Last year, obviously his trip to New York won best mentor moment, which was great. But this year is best mentor call. And for me, there were two, that I could have gone with here, but I went with my personal favorite. We talked about this when we interviewed him a few days ago, and that was the Auntie Ranta first star calls when he just yells Ranta at the top of his lungs. I love it. It makes me want to run through a brick wall. My second place was when he apologized for all the overtimes. That was funny.
Yeah, full disclosure here, Jared and I did not know what each other picked going into this. It will be new to us as much as it is to you guys. My first place is the I'm so sorry call.
Yep.
I think it was the third overtime in the four overtime game one. It was just so funny. I mean, it was just perfect for that moment. You know, it shows just how good he is at connecting with his audience and, reading the room, reading the vibes perfectly. For that game and that situation, that was just great. I'm sure everybody in the building loved it. It went viral. Everybody thought it was hilarious. Feel like that perfectly encapsulates Wade and, just how special he is to this fan base as the PA announcer.
Oh, yeah. Cannot go wrong with that. Again, like I said, that was almost my winner for this award as well. But, man, when he just yells Auntie Ranta when he gets a first star, that is awesome. Now we have best meme. Obviously, Caniacs love to make their memes of players, and this was fun. And there's obviously several you could have gone with throughout the season, but I went with the one that lasted the longest, and that was Seth Jarvis post stadium series. With his sunglasses, his beanie is cut off, and Coors Light. My God, that was hilarious. And I love how it has stayed around for so long. There was a guy dressed up as that at games. He did it throughout the playoffs. And then I saw the Paint the Ice event yesterday for a season ticket member. Someone painted it on the ice. And I love it. It's so funny. And it's honestly one I think is going to stick rather than just for the season. It's going to be one that just throughout Seth Jarvis's career, really.
Yeah. So these days, meme can mean a lot of different things. You know, it can be saying something over, that's not serious. That's a joke on Twitter. And you probably remember, I'm sure many remember, when the Hurricanes were on their big winning streak in December, a lot of that winning streak happened with Sebastian Aho out of the lineup. And after every game, I would say something like, oh, the Hurricanes are, 8-0 without Sebastian Aho. Really makes you think. And just continually, I had fun with that. And especially I had fun with the number of people who took it seriously, who actually thought I was suggesting that the Hurricanes should trade Sebastian Aho because they won a few December games without him. Mm-hmm. So that was something I had a lot of fun with this season. Full disclosure, again, for the record, was never serious, was always a joke, was a meme, but good times. Thank you, everybody. Honestly, thank you to everybody who took it seriously, because that made it funnier for me.
Oh, yeah, that was hilarious, because, like, I know, all right, yeah, Andrew's just joking about that. There is no way he's being serious about the Hurricanes trading Sebastian Aho. That's not going to happen. Yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit more in a future episode, but they're wanting to ink him to, like, an 8-year deal. I mean, he's not going anywhere. So next up is Best Drip. The Hurricanes players, they always dress to the nines and are looking great in terms of their pregame outfits. We talked about this with Sarah Sivian a couple weeks ago when she was on, you know, and she gave her thoughts on them. But for me personally, I am going with Freddie Anderson. Man, his pregame fits are always awesome. I love when he breaks out the hats, you know, like Sarah saying he looks like a Harry Potter character with what he's wearing. I love it. And you know, obviously honorable mention to Sebastian Aho with his green suit. That one's great. And then Brent Burns with his camo ones as well.
I'm going to go with the one that you actually just mentioned in the meme category. And that is Seth Jarvis after the stadium series. I was in the locker room after that game. Yeah. Got to see that up close and personal with the, like you said, with the beanie and the tank top, the shades, the Coors Light. It was perfect for that night, you know, for just kind of the whole, like, college party vibe of that night to have the youngest guy on the team, I think the youngest guy on the team, yeah, right now, come in and do that. The shades were, I don't think, intentional on his part, but a very nice nod to NC State fan favorite big man DJ Burns and his iconic sunglasses that he wears after every game. So yeah, no, that's you're not beating that one for me.
Yeah, that one was absolutely phenomenal. I didn't even think about that one for this category. I was strictly thinking about the suits that they wear into the games. But yeah, that could totally win this one. That one could honestly, you know, does it qualify for every category? No. Could it win every category? Yes. It was that great. I want to say someone put it on a t-shirt as well.
I think you're right. Did.
Kind of like with the new Barbie movie coming out. I think someone put it on a t-shirt.
Come on, that's Jarvie, great. Let's go party or something.
Yes, like that. Yes. It's that one. Oh my God. It is so funny. That we should use that one for the thumbnail today. I don't even know if we can, but we should. So again, we have many more categories to get through, and we will continue to dive through them all right after this quick break, folks. Now, folks, even though the Carolina Hurricanes are out of the playoffs, you can still bet on your pick for the Stanley Cup final with FanDuel. Whether it's Florida, whether it's Vegas, you also have the NBA finals set now with the Miami Heat and the Denver Nuggets. So you can bet on any of those, and of course, all other sporting events as well. Because right now, new customers get a no sweat first bet up to $2,500. Again, whether you're wanting to bet on the Florida Panthers or the Vegas Golden Knights, the Miami Heat or the Denver Nuggets, FanDuel has you covered, because that is $2,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. So if you get game one wrong, there you go. And there is no better place to bet on all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon to get a no sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Go Miami Heat. But yeah, that's just really have a for the finals.
Yeah, I don't really have it. Going to be honest, I don't have a dog in that fight. Caleb Martin and Omer Yurtseven for the Heat both played for NC State at one point, so I guess I can go for the Heat.
Yeah, Martin played for the Hornets. I don't know playoff basketball very well, so, you know, because they hate me. But, you know, diving back on into the awards, next up is Breakout Star of the Year. Now, for me, It's not necessarily that he broke out. It was more of a bounce back. And for me, it was Martin Natchez. He had an absolutely phenomenal year and, you know, really, you know, proved a lot of the doubters wrong that he can bounce back and that he is worth it for the Hurricanes. Now, playoffs was a bit, you know, hit and miss for him. But, you know, like we say with a lot of young guys, they're still really young. And, you know, there's still plenty of time for these guys to develop their game continually. But he bounced back so, so well. You know, there was a real movement, especially when Jordan Martinook told us to go vote for Natchez instead of him to really get him to the All-Star game as well. So, you know, yeah, there was an attempt to try to not have, what was it, 4 New York Rangers on the All-Star team this year and have 2 Hurricanes players rather than just the one. But yeah, you know, that's well in the past. But yeah, for me, breakout star was totally Martin Natchez this year.
Yeah, I was going to go with Martin Natchez, and I think that's a really good pick. Just for the sake of doing something a little different, I will go with Jesperi Kotkaniemi.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a star, more of a secondary player for this team, but if you look at what he did this year, he took another really nice step forward in his career from his first season with the Hurricanes, you know, moving up into more of that 2C role. Yeah. With Vincent Trocheck gone, he scored a career-high 18 goals, put up a career-high 43 points. Mm-hmm. You saw him getting more and more comfortable with this team. You saw, I think, a little bit more of what he can do, especially in the, you know, in the middle and the beginning of the season before guys like Andrei Svechnikov were out. When you give him good wingers and let him gel with them, you know, before, you know, guys started getting hurt and there weren't really a lot of options for good wingers outside of Sebastian Aho's line. But I think, you know, first year of that big 8-year extension that the Hurricanes signed him to, you know, he's showing that he's, you know, moving forward and developing into that really nice 2-way middle 6 secondary scoring center that the Hurricanes want him to be.
Yeah, I totally agree there. Star, you know, is kind of interchangeable with player, really. And yeah, you cannot go wrong with that one as well. He had a really good year, and I'm really excited to see how he continues to grow as well. You know, obviously, the Hurricanes would not have signed him to that extension if they didn't think he was worth it and that he could bring something to the table. Because, you know, they were looking at him in the draft, too. They went with Svech. They got both of the guys they were looking at. So, you know, worked out for them. Both inked to long-term deals as well. Now we have best newcomer. The Hurricanes, obviously, like last year, you know, had a lot of turnover in the offseason, so there are a lot of new faces. I personally went with Andre Kasha here. I'm kidding.
That's not nice. With
Brent Burns.
That's not nice.
I know. I know. Obviously, yeah, wishing him the best in terms of his recovery, of course. But, you know, yeah, he was a guy like I was a couple years ago talking with JD from the Duck show about a potential trade there. And then, you know, we finally got him in, you know, one game. But, you know, we'll see what happens with him. But yeah, best newcomer, hands down, Brent Burns. You know, he set the franchise record for most points in a single season by a defenseman. Yeah, there are a little bit of growing pains at the start of the year, but yeah, he really settled in. He brought so much to this team, and you know, he was able to, you know, sit back and, you know, do his thing. It wasn't like, you know, in San Jose where, you know, he had to do everything. Yeah, no, he was just able to stick to his game and do his thing. And, you know, he really looked like he was having fun too out there. You know, the storm surges, and, you know, just everything. He was having fun, and that really came through with his play. And the fact that we get, you know, a couple more years of him here, it wasn't just a one and done thing for a veteran chasing a ring. No, like, he's gonna be here. We talked about it the other day, how, you know, he got here super early, was working out, being a part of the community, and that was absolutely phenomenal. And yeah, he is hands down best newcomer for me.
Yeah, that's an easy one. I'm also going to go with Brent Burns. He, like everything you just talked about, he was a perfect fit, I think, for what the Hurricanes needed in that number one defenseman, you know, offensive, puck moving, right shot, power play quarterback defenseman to play next to Jacob Slavin. Continues to age like fine wine at 38 years old. But, you know, you mentioned the growing pains. I think after about a month,
yeah,
he settled in and you saw like, okay, there's still a lot of the guy who's been one of the very best offensive defensemen in the NHL throughout his career here. I mean, the plays that he can make, his shot, getting so many shots through, he scored some really big goals. You know, I think he's a good fit next to Slavin. He's you know, all right defensively, but his strength is on the offensive side, and he can just let, you know, Slavin, you know, do his thing defensively. But Slavin with Burns doesn't necessarily have to carry the pairing as much as he might have with some guys that were there last year. But yeah, I think Brent Burns was a phenomenal addition to the Hurricanes, and I'm really excited to see what's in store for him in year two.
I am too. And you know, one thing, a category I just thought about, I don't even know how we didn't add this sooner. Best siren sounder. How did we not think of that?
Yeah, that's we did a whole episode on siren sounders.
I know, and we didn't even think of this category. For me, oh my god, I am totally blanking on the name right now. It was the Panthers player that broke the siren off of the stand.
Jonathan Stewart.
Yes, Jonathan Stewart. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, for me, Jonathan Stewart. That was hilarious. It wasn't that he broke the handle like the NC State players did. No, he broke it off of the siren, and that is absolutely hilarious. It's definitely up there as one of the best ones because he was cranking that thing too.
Yeah, I'll go with NC State linebacker, or former now current Kansas City Chiefs linebacker, actually, Isaiah Moore.
Yeah,
for just literally breaking the handle. And it was cool, too. He was up there with the Thomas brothers, Thayer and Drake, and with Chris Dunn, who's now, you know, probably the best kicker in school history for NC State. So a lot of big faces from that NC State team last year. And, to break the siren.
I like how both of our... Both of them were ones where they broke the siren.
Credit to D'Antonio Burnett, the man they call Thunder, who, you know, goes and builds these NC State guys up into just absolute monsters in the weight room for, putting out a guy through 4 or 5 years in the program who was capable of breaking the storm siren. And I'll go with an honorable mention here. They weren't on the siren, but just for like a pregame thing. Having Derek Wittenberg and David Thompson come out before the stadium series to, to like announce the Hurricanes and bring them out. That was really, really, really cool.
Yeah, that was really cool too. And then, you know, speaking of stadium series, honorable mention to the 06 alumni that came out to sound the siren, you know, for that. You know, that's a once in a lifetime thing. You know, I wish, you know, they kind of gotten some more guys. I know they kind of like stuck with guys that, you know, live in the area. So they may not have been able to get more, but you know, it would have been so cool. That was so cool, excuse me. But man, you know, yeah, that the stadium series of that's good. That could have won, for sure. Definitely honorable mention, you know, for pregame stuff like you were saying. Now we're moving on to best goalie for the season. Obviously there's not a whole lot to choose from, just three guys. I personally went with Antti Raanta. He had an insane regular season, and you know, he really just showed what he can do when healthy and given the reins. He went, what was it, like 14 or 15 games without losing, and you know, had some stupid save percentage. Dude was a monster this year, and then carried it over into the playoffs as well. He wasn't, you know, where he, you know, dipped off in the playoffs. If we're talking strictly playoffs, Freddie, of course. But you know, I did factor in the regular season there, and he was a bit up and down throughout the regular season. So I just kind of looked at consistency across the board. And Antti Raanta, he was great this year. Piotr obviously deserves a mention, but we didn't see a whole lot of him this year, which is why I went with Antti Raanta.
Yeah, I think Antti Raanta is a good pick for the reasons that you mentioned. I went with Frederik Andersen. Like you mentioned, a bit up and down in the regular season, but let's be honest, the Hurricanes are in a position now where what happens in the playoffs is much more important and much more what this team is ultimately going to be judged on than what happens in the regular season. And Frederik Andersen, once he took over in the playoffs, was so good. I mean, we've talked multiple times about how good he was in keeping the Hurricanes in the game to be able to come back in that game six against the Islanders to close out that series. How good he was in the four wins against the Devils, especially in game five, the closest one of that series, you know, other than game three when he gets pulled and when really the whole team was terrible. And then against Florida, I mean, he was certainly not the Hurricanes' problem. In that game one, four overtime game, probably one of, if not the best performance all time from a Hurricanes goalie, just when you look at the sheer volume of what he had to do and some of the saves he was making in those multiple overtimes. And then he plays, Raanta played in game two because, you know, Frederik Andersen played two and a third games in game one. And then he was, you know, he was fine in games three and four. He played well, especially in game three. I thought he played pretty well, was far from the Hurricanes' problem. So for his playoff performance, I'm giving it to Frederik Andersen. You mentioned Antti Raanta, how consistent he was. You know, I can't really argue with that. I think Pyotr Kochetkov, again, like you said, the small volume kind of takes him out of it, but he definitely warrants a mention, especially for kind of being mostly the guy in that December run that we talked about yesterday, where the Hurricanes won all those games and kind of solidified themselves as the top team in the Metro and one of the top teams in the league.
Yeah. Frederik Andersen can't go wrong there at all. It'll be interesting to see what our goaltending situation looks like next year. We'll obviously, you know, talk about that in future episodes of, you know, kind of what we're predicting for next year as far as free agents and trades and all that stuff. But we still have three more categories to get through, Andrew, and we will dive into those right after this quick break. Now it is time to get into the three biggest categories, arguably, I guess. I still think, you know, best meme is probably the best one, but, you know, that's just me. Now we're getting into best defenseman. There's a few you could go, or, well, there's a few ways you could interpret this. If you wanted to go with, like, Norris Trophy kind of reasoning, then obviously, yeah, it'd be Brent Burns. You know, he's a defenseman with the most points. You know, you could argue Brady Shea as well, but I personally am going with Jacob Slavin. I mean, he's, you know, the best defensive defenseman in the NHL. You know, the Hurricanes defense is not the same without him, plain and simple. Again, I don't think you could go wrong if you said Brent Burns or Brady Shea, because they had, you know, really good seasons. Brady Shea, really good regular season. You know, kind of teetered off in the playoffs a little bit. But, you know, he would get some votes as well. But, yeah, I'm going with Jacob Slavin.
I'm also going to go with Jacob Slavin for the reasons you just mentioned. I mean, we're talking about best defensemen, so let's look at defending. And like you just said, nobody in the league does it better than Jacob Slavin night in, night out, going out there, shutting down the opponent's best players. You look at, especially in the playoffs, you know, you saw there was a lot of stuff about why he should be the Hurricanes' Conn Smythe favorite going into the conference final because of the way I think they outscored the Devils by like 13 or 14 at 5-on-5 with Jacob Slavin on the ice in that second round series. I mean, you know, sometimes the best defense is a good offense and having the puck. And the Hurricanes, you know, you look at that too, the way that they tend to dominate possession when Jacob Slavin's out there, because he has some offensive flair and upside to his game as well. He can score, he can make plays. I think if the Hurricanes asked him to play more of a pure offensive role, he could do it. But what they need him to do is go out there and shut people down night in and night out, and that's what he does. I mean, Jacob Slavin, you said the Hurricanes defense, the Hurricanes team would not be remotely close to the same if you took away Jacob Slavin.
Yeah, 110% agree. Yeah, he should be a guy that is in the Norris conversation year after year, but he's not because he doesn't play that super flashy game. He doesn't put up a ton of points, which is absolutely criminal because he should be in that conversation more than he is. But, you know, whoever scores the most points is the best defenseman, evidently. Now, getting into best forward. There were a few guys here that I think could have taken this award. And I almost went with Martin Natchez again for this one. But ultimately, I looked at the overall impact of it, and I went with Andrei Svechnikov. He, really, he was such a difference maker on this team. And, you look at how they were with him and then how they were without him. Obviously, the regular season was still pretty good once he went down. But, you really felt him in the playoffs not being there. And he had such a good year. I really wish, we could have seen him finish out the regular season, see what more he could have added onto his season. So, I went with Andrei Svechnikov here.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. I didn't really consider him and all that, kind of in that vein, but you're right, especially if you look at the Hurricanes with them, without him. I went with Sebastian Aho.
Yeah.
The number one center, franchise guy right now. We're going to have lots and lots and lots to say about Sebastian Aho, I think, this offseason, because that's going to be one of the dominant storylines for the Hurricanes this offseason about his potential contract extension. As it should, because he's so important to this team. I mean, as I said, he's the number one center, scores goals, makes plays, drives play, power play, penalty kill. I mean, he does it all. You look at him in the playoffs, especially in the Islanders series, the way he was really able to step up in the absence of some other guys. In the Florida series, I thought he played, especially in game three and game four in Florida, I thought he played really, really, really well. Was trying so hard to be that guy that broke through. They just, as a team, couldn't really break through. So, no, okay. I he missed some time, so his numbers are a little bit lower than normal because of that. But I was really impressed with what I saw from Sebastian Aho this season.
Yeah, absolutely. You cannot ever go wrong with Sebastian Aho in the best forward category. You can never go wrong with him there. Now, finally, is MVP. Spoiler, we've already heard mine, and that is once again Andrei Svechnikov, because once again you saw the team with him and you saw the team without him, especially in the playoffs, and just how valuable he is to this team of getting them the win. You really saw it in the playoffs. Now, honorable mention here is definitely Jacob Slavin for all the stuff we listed earlier in the best defenseman category, because like with Andre, it's not the same team without him. He would leave an absolutely gaping hole if he was not on the team. And so did Andre Svechnikov. But Andre, I kind of look at, what they needed in the playoffs, and they needed Svech. And it just kind of really hammered home just how valuable he is to this team.
We've already heard my MVP as well, and you just talked about him. I'm going with Jacob Slavin. Everything that he does for this team, like I mentioned, being that number one defenseman, going out there, the Hurricanes dominate puck possession when he is on the ice. He shuts down the opponent's best players night in and night out. You've seen, it's crazy, every year when the Hurricanes play Edmonton twice, he's like the human Connor McDavid eraser out there. And this is not to take anything at all away from Andrei Svechnikov and what he means to this team. The Hurricanes went to the Eastern Conference Final without Andrei Svechnikov. I am 110% confident the Hurricanes would not have gone to the Eastern Conference Final without Jacob Slavin. Just everything that he does, he brings to the table. This team's biggest strength that it leans on, especially when it has some offensive guys out of the lineup. It's this team's identity is ultimately goal suppression and shot suppression. And the best guy out there at making that happen is Jacob Slavin. the Hurricanes would be just a night and day different if they didn't have him. He is my MVP for this season. And frankly, probably my MVP for like this current run of Hurricanes hockey.
I can't lie, you're kind of making me want to change mine.
That's all good. It's all good. You made great arguments for Andrei Svechnikov, especially seeing them with and without, and I don't think that's wrong.
Yeah, I know, but yeah, Jacob Slavin, he is so valuable to this team, and yeah, he's a guy that, you know, obviously we don't think Jordan Staal is retiring anytime soon, but it kind of feels like he would be the guy, like when Jordan Staal hangs up his skates, he's the one who takes the C from Jordan Staal, you know? I think he is the next Hurricanes captain in Jacob Slavin. I really, really do. He is so valuable to this team. Like you said, just this run they've been on the past 5 years. Yeah, he's the total MVP for it.
Yeah, definitely.
Was that a hot take of me saying he's going to be the next captain after Jordan
Staal?
Well,
at first I thought you were still talking about Svechnikov.
No.
You were talking about Slavin. And that's, he could. I think that's an interesting topic for a future episode, especially, you know, once we get into that August mode, because I do think there are a few different directions the Hurricanes could go with that. Jacob Slavin would certainly be one of them, though.
Yeah, absolutely. He has the A on his chest for a reason. He is so valuable to this team, as is Andrei Svechnikov. Honestly, honorable mention, Frederik Andersen. He's another guy that's, and really just the goalies as a whole, we can kind of lump them together because of just how good the Hurricanes goaltending was this year between Freddie, between Antti Raanta and Pyotr Kochetkov. In years past where that has been a weak point for them, because you remember in past, before Freddie and Raanta, it felt like in the playoffs, that was the thing that needed to be improved, with Peter Mrazek and James Reimer. Peter Mrazek and Curtis McElhinney, and then Peter, James, and Ned. It kind of felt like that was the weak point, and now they have that. Well, had it figured out, they're going to have to refigure it out this offseason. But yeah, those are guys that are worth mentioning here in the MVP conversation as well, because Freddie especially, throughout the playoffs, absolutely killer.
Yeah, I hesitate to do that with goalies, just
kind
of seeing what the Hurricanes system can do for goalies, like with Frederick and Antti winning the Jennings Trophy last year. I know you're not going to like hearing this, but looking at Ned's numbers, his year with the Hurricanes, and looking at his
Remove
numbers since he's gone to Detroit. I think the goalies have definitely played a role as well.
Yeah, but you're only going to get this once this year. You're right there. You're right about Ned. Though I would still love to see him come back, though. Because I love him. I know. He's a free agent this year, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bring him home, Don. Oh, bring him home. Pyotr and Ned duo. Yeah, maybe not the best one there. Maybe not
anyway.
The best decision.
Yeah.
Do it for the feels. But yeah, that was 100% a joke. He would definitely, if he came back, I kind of feel like he would essentially take Piotr's role as like the number one in Chicago and, kind of like coming back and forth. I kind of feel like that would be his role. But that's a conversation for another day. Those were our awards, folks. We are going to put out a Google doc form for you guys with all of these categories here for you guys to give us your winners for these awards, and we will dive into those in a future episode, and so we can know what you guys were thinking. Who is the MVP, best forward, best defenseman, best newcomer, all of that stuff, and we look forward to hearing that. And in the next episode, we'll be talking about Dom Waddell and Rod Brindamore's press conference, as well as Tom Dundon's interview with Luke from the News and Observer. And as always, folks, thank you for listening. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at @LO_Hurricanes, myself on Twitter at @JaredEllis_96, and Andrew at @AShnit53. And as always, folks, let's go Canes.